Welcome, filmmakers, to another episode of the Film Aspire podcast. You're listening to us at filmaspire.podomatic.com. We are also available on iTunes, keyword Film Aspire, and all of our episodes are archived at filmaspire.com. How's everybody doing? It's been a little while since we've been together. The Film Aspire podcast is proudly sponsored by FYL Entertainment and our sister station, Acting for Your Life. The Acting for Your Life podcast can be heard at actingforyourlife.podomatic.com. The wise words of Catherine Ray Furrow, dispensing knowledge on life balance and acting and directing and all things entertainment business related. We are also proudly sponsored by Thoughtfly Grip and Lighting. For all of your grip and lighting needs for a film project, check them out at thoughtflygripandlighting.com, or you can give them a call at 502-648-3878. Joe and Duncan are absolutely amazing guys, and they are part of our big project that we have going on right now. We'll talk about it a little bit and then a little more in-depth toward the end of the podcast, but currently Catherine and I are in the midst of promoting our new film, Breath of Heaven. Should be an exciting day. It is going to be an exciting time. We shot a small investor trailer in March. It is now out. That's why I've been away for so long. I've been inundated with working on the trailer and the Indiegogo campaign and things like that. So head on over to breathofheavenmovie.com. Long email addresses today on the podcast, and you can find out more information. But we'll talk about that here in a little bit. I only segued into it right now because Thoughtfly Grip and Lighting helped us out on the Investor Reel trailer. They did an awesome job, so I highly, highly recommend them. So how's everybody doing today? Like I said, it's been a little while since we have been together. I have been gratefully inundated with projects and working a lot, and that's sometimes what happens. You know, I get on a spree of projects and I just don't have time to throw down a podcast, as much as I miss talking to you. But a couple of events have occurred in the past 72 hours that have really just spawned this new podcast topic, and I have to get it off my chest for you because it's just that important. It basically started out with one of my college students at JCTC is working on a final project, and Ryan, this is for you. We were talking about some things, and he was trying to get a scene together, and just everything went wrong for him. The actors couldn't make it, the venue was having issues, the cameras had issues, the mics had issues, and he was feeling really, really down. And he said, well, you know, sometimes I just need a pity party. And I said, yeah, sometimes you need a pity party, and sometimes you have to get over it and find a backup plan. And I got to thinking about one of my favorite films from probably my favorite director and one of the greatest directors of all time, Jaws, and Steven Spielberg. And the thing that came to mind for Ryan when I was talking to him about some of these things was, well, you know, sometimes the shark just don't work. And if you're not familiar with the story of Jaws, they had innumerable problems on that shoot with the mechanical shark, which they dubbed Bruce, Spielberg's lawyer. I've always loved that joke. It just wouldn't work the way it was supposed to, mostly because they built the prop and tested it and did all this stuff in a freshwater tank in Los Angeles, shipped the thing to Martha's Vineyard, and they were using it in salt water, and that corroded and messed up some of the electronics, and they had to almost rebuild the thing from scratch on set. So Spielberg was left with a decision. He could have either thrown his hands up and given up or come up with a contingency plan. And what he ended up doing was one of probably the greatest decisions in filmmaking history. He did a creature feature where you don't see the creature for 90% of the film. It just shows up there at the very end because that's all they could get it to work. And sometimes your shark, whatever your shark is, it could be your whole project, it could be a fake gag, it could be an actor, it could be a lot of different things that could represent your shark. But sometimes your shark just isn't going to work. You know, and I looked at Ryan. I said, well, what's your backup plan? And he said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, what else are you going to shoot? What alternate script are you going to come up with in the next 2 days to shoot to make your film happen? And he got to thinking about that, and that's what he's working on now. Sometimes as filmmakers, what we want is not going to happen the way we need it to happen. And we have to come up with a contingency plan. I've talked about it several times, but I had a particular actor that I wanted to use on my first feature film, Girl Number 3, for a scene, and it just didn't work out. He didn't show up on the shoot day, and we couldn't get a hold of him, so we had to pinch hit. And I had to compromise a little bit and throw some different actors and actually pulled a member of the crew into the set, and he ended up absolutely rocking out that scene and ended up playing a much larger role in the film. We ended up rewriting a little bit of the film around him, and we consistently get incredible returns off of his performance. People are always talking about how good that actual performer is, and his name is Denny Griner, and he just landed in L.A. 2 days ago. So all of my L.A. people and California people that are listening, check out the Girl Number 3 IMDb page. Again, plugging myself, but you'll find Denny's information on that page, and you should look him up. He's needing work in Los Angeles. Love you, Denny. Part of being a great director, and just being a director, period, not even a great director, is the ability to think on your feet and come up with different ideas. And I recently saw a wonderful independent film starring Christopher Plummer called The Man in the Chair, and he talked about, you know, being the man in the chair means you have to make decisions. And that is so very, very true. As a director and as a filmmaker, sometimes you have to be able to think on your feet. You have to be able to come up with new ideas on the spot that are completely different from your original vision, but will serve the overall vision of the film. That can be difficult to do sometimes. And the other side of this coin, which is, it happened actually this morning, which was the preface for this part of the podcast, is sometimes you do have to know, understand, and be willing to just say it's not going to work. I have a photo project, actually, that I've been trying to work on for the past couple of months, and there have just been a myriad of problems that have kind of thrown up roadblocks for that particular shoot. And try as I may, it's been everything from actor schedule conflicts to venue changes to costume fallouts. There's been a lot of problems. And last night I got another email from one of my models saying that she may not be available and I should try and find somebody else. And this morning I woke up to an email stating that my venue was no longer going to be able to host the event. So I just had to decide to throw in the towel. Now, I'm going to do the shoot eventually. It's just the fates are telling me it's not time today. So that's the other side of the coin. You have to be able, as the man in the chair, to be able to make the decision, no, it's not going to work. Let's either do something else or put it away for a while. In this instance, and I'm really not big on quitting on projects. There's only been about 4 to 5 projects in my career that I've just had to throw my hands up and say, no, it's not time. It's not going to work. I've never fully abandoned those projects. I still have every intention of finishing them one day when the time is right. But for whatever reason, for whatever circumstances I was facing in that moment, I had to decide to not do it. And that's a tough, tough decision, and because you don't want to end up being the guy who quits, or the girl who quits, or the person who quits, or the artist who gives up. Sometimes you have to know when to fight, and sometimes you have to know when to quit. And that's a little Kenny Rogers for you there, a little gambler. You know when to hold him, know when to fold him. But it's a very, very true life lesson. That's why that song's endured so long, is because it's very true. You know, if you're on set and you're working on a particular shot and your gut is just screaming at you to get it right, to do one more take, to do one more take, to do another one, to make it right, a little bit longer, a little bit shorter, you just can't get it right. Follow your gut and keep going. And then sometimes you'll get into the editing room having followed that gut feeling and it was just screaming at you the whole time to finish, and you figured out it was just bad craft service food because it just doesn't work. Those instances will happen too. And sometimes you're going to fight for something that you were convinced was the right way to do it and it just didn't work. And that's when you have to eat the humble pie. But understanding the difference between giving up and choosing to reassign it for a later date is a difficult decision that all directors have to face. And I mean, you know, you look at Peter Jackson. He was neck deep into King Kong, and somebody threw this little thing at him called Lord of the Rings. 15 years later, he started working on King Kong again. So sometimes you have to know when the timing is not right. A lot of information there in the podcast. I hope that really will resonate with you the way it resonated with me, because learning when to say it's not time was one of the hardest lessons in my career thus far. And if you can learn that now and learn it is okay to postpone things, to change things up, and especially when you're on set, if something's not working, you've got to make a change, and that's something that you have to do as a filmmaker. I was on set for my short film, The Tremor, and the original concept for that film involved a father-son relationship, and we could not find an elder actor to play the father for the particular nationality that we wanted. We wanted a Hispanic nationality, and we could not find an older Hispanic actor in our area to play the role. So I ended up changing it to a brother, because the dialogue mostly worked, and a lot of relationships like that have instances where the older brother ends up being more of the father figure because the father's not around for whatever reason, death, divorce, whatever. So I thought it was going to work, but the more I had them working this scene on the set, I realized it just didn't work. It just was, it didn't work, and it wasn't going to work. So I had to sit down and actually rewrite. I had to hand rewrite a script for these two actors to perform on the day. And that's a tough call to have to do something like that, to rewrite a scene on the day on set. And I'm so glad I did that, because it ended up really pulling the scene together, and we were able to pull great performances out of the actors that made sense for the context of the scene. So understand when you need to make a change, and understand when you need to throw in the towel. It's a very, very important thing. All right, getting back to some of the exciting things going on in the FYL Entertainment realm, we've already talked about the movie a little bit. Let me quickly announce that we are going to be back on tour with the Acting for Your Life program and Film Aspire programs. Coming back to the Apple, we are heading back to New York City. We will be there on the weekend of May 18th, May 18th and 19th. We have a two-day workshop planned at the Ripley Greer Studios, 939 8th Avenue in New York, New York. You can get information on that workshop at actingforyourlife.org/NYREG. Okay, that is actingforyourlife, all spelled out, .org/NYREG. You can get registrations on that and give us an email, drop us a line. We've got a lot of new exciting workshops coming up. We'll be able to announce those very, very soon. But we are going to be bouncing all over the eastern part of the United States, and we are really, really excited to be bringing some of the new information, some of the new thoughts and ideas that we've had regarding the Acting for Your Life program. And it's a proven program. It's been around for many, many years, and we have tons of testimonials of actors who have, as we like to say, drank the Kool-Aid and looked inside themselves, found out what changes they needed to make in their career, and they have, in some cases, been brought back from the brink of quitting. We've had at least three actors since I've joined the program, because I'm a transplant into the program. Catherine brought me on about 3 years ago to start helping with the workshop. She was teaching this for 6 or 7 years prior to that. But just since I've been with the program, I've seen at least three actors who were ready to give up, who were ready to throw in the towel and get the day job. And by taking the workshop, we were able to show them a couple of minor tweaks. And these aren't even large life-changing decisions. It's just minor behavioral changes in a lot of instances that have saved their careers and have reignited their passion for being a performer or a director or whatever it is that they want to do. Because, again, you can't do just one thing anymore. You have to be willing to constantly branch out and learn and do new and exciting things. And that's what this program truly offers. It offers you a chance to look at your own career, diagnose what you need to change, or if you need to change anything, really. There's that side of it. And allow you to move forward from there. And also, we have awesome acting coaching and audition training and headshot review. We got all sorts of things going on in the Acting for Your Life program. So, 2-day program. Hit us up again, actingforyourlife.org/NYREG. And we will be there the 18th and 19th of May. We're very excited about that. Now, final thing we're going to talk about, and I'm going to let you go because I've got a test to write. We are in the midst of a wonderful campaign for a new feature film that Catherine and I are putting together. Catherine's been working on this film for about 20 years. It's just an amazing historical drama. It is called Breath of Heaven, and we have launched an Indiegogo campaign for this film. You can check us out at breathofheavenmovie.com. And the Indiegogo campaign, if you simply go to Indiegogo and look up Breath of Heaven, or you can check the comments line of this podcast, and I will put a link to the campaign. You can see a 8-minute video that explains the history of the film, how we have brought it together, and the individuals that we are bringing together to work on the project in our region, as well as about a 5-minute preview scene from the actual film starring Catherine and myself. We have just been floored at the amount of international support. We've got folks from London, from Australia, California, Chicago, Toronto, New York. We've got folks all over the world working on and supporting this project. And we would really like your support too. And it doesn't have to be a lot. It can be volunteer for time. It can be volunteer for a myriad of other things. But if you have some extra financial support, we always would appreciate that. We have our campaign set up to give denominations as little as a dollar, and every little bit helps. So it's not very often I ask for something, so I'll make it a one-time, a very rare occurrence that I actually ask for something on the show. But if you can find it in your heart to support independent film and support the movement of Breath of Heaven, we would very much appreciate that. You can check that out at, again, breathofheavenmovie.com. I want to wish everybody a great week. Have a wonderful week of shooting. There's so many wonderful things going on in the independent film era and the micro-budget film area. It's exciting. I'm so proud to be a part of this movement, and I hope you are too. Grab a camera, grab some friends, and get out there and tell your story.